the way, that there, that's Thin Lizzy. That guitar part you hear? Why do I mention that? It's all up to you, Dub. We got ourselves a jailbreak. Thin Lizzy had a great song about jailbreaks. A University of Washington professor has performed a mental jailbreak. Yep, his name go down in infamy. Stuart Regis. He's a senior lecturer. He teaches entry-level coding. The University of Washington, he's helped a lot of young people get into the coding business. He wrote a 4,580-word essay entitled Why Women Don't Code. No, I'm not talking about James Danmore at Google. I'm talking about a senior lecturer at the University of Washington. In this essay, he argues that women are unlikely to ever make up more than 20% of tech employees since, according to research he cites, boys are... Oh, hold on. I don't know if I can read these words. Better at math and science, and girls are better at reading. And he quoted research. I mean, research is known to be sexist. Worse. According to the Seattle Times' Catherine Long, worse, Stuart Regis, senior lecturer, said that many women are not interested in computer science. This makes me sick! Hold on. Wait a minute. No, it doesn't. He's expressing an opinion that is backed up with 4,580 words of nuanced, deep research. And here's some of the complaints it's drawn. Some of them are fairly measured. I mean, some of them are academic-level responses. Men and women are different. They make different choices. This is basically Regis's statement on this. A UW professor, Sapna Charan, says her own research shows something different. Okay. Well, there's a great deal of evidence that students' preference for certain fields are powerfully shaped by the perceived social environments of the field. Okay, fair enough. That's great. Another UW professor, Andy Koh, says there's broad scientific consensus that the culture of a learning community and its alignment with the learner's values and identity is what determines their interest in joining it. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. He's quoting some research. Then we get down to this. The UW Paul G. Allen School of Computer Science guy named Hank Levy put out a statement saying that the school disagreed with the essay's conclusion, and he emphasized the school's belief in the value of diversity in tech. I am not able to find where the gentleman who wrote the essay said he didn't value diversity. I don't see that at all. It's just like James Danmore said, he values diversity. He just wondered if Google was going about it the right way to get this diversity. And this gentleman is saying, hey, if women aren't interested in coding and they don't want to write code, maybe getting 50% of coders to be women, maybe that's not a great idea. And for that, the question becomes, wait a minute, you value diversity, right? Yeah, we value diversity, but is this the right goal? Man, I kid you not, I pray for this guy to continue to have his job there, because this is now just making the news, and you know how this is going to pile on. Now, I got to wake someone up here. Hold on. Governor! Yeah. Governor! He's sleeping. Jay Inslee. Hey, what are you going to do about this thing with Western State Hospital?
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
Back to sleep. Back to sleep. Back to sleep. I knew that's what you were going to say. Seattle Times did a piece way back in March 27th looking at the Western State Hospital thing. Western State lost its certification. We've been talking about this for 3 years. We've been talking about it. Bill Bryant talked about it during the campaign.
Cumulative evidence woven together reveals negligence and incompetence at best, and an election year cover-up at worst. We did not learn anything about the problems of Western State from our elected governor. Nearly everything we've learned has come from reporters who doggedly pursued the information. If this federal funding is lost, particularly with the pressures of McCleary, it could force cuts that would undermine many safety net programs at a time I want our state to increase funding for mental health, housing, and homelessness. We need to reevaluate what we're doing and how we're delivering services to the people who need it.
And guess what? The funding's gone. $53 million out the door. Now, do you think what we need in our area is more insane people on the streets, particularly in the Seattle area? The $53 million is gone. That was federal funding. But let's follow this from the Seattle Times and their editorial board back in March. They originally titled this Western States Hospital Inexcusable Inefficiency. The legislature gave Western State Hospital $142 million to fix things up there, but follow the money. $46 million of those dollars were going to pay for existing fines in a, it's called the True Blood lawsuit, which was another case of Western State not doing its job. Governor, he's asleep again. Jay, wake up. How could you excuse this all?
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
I didn't say you made it up, but it's right here. Another 35 of that $42 million was going to pay for overtime and other cost overruns at Western State Hospital. Why was the overtime such a problem at Western State Hospital? Would you like to know? You want me to tell you? Because I'll be happy to tell you. I wonder if Jay Inslee would have ever told us that. Governor, come on. Come on. Wake up. It's almost four. Almost time for your pills.
I've got probably the most transparent administration in our state's history, and I'm proud of that.
Okay. So, but you didn't tell us this, Jay, in all due respect. It's good to see you finally awake. That you didn't have at Western State Hospital, they didn't have a computer program to help them track overtime. They didn't have a computer program to help them have appropriate levels of staffing at the state's largest mental facility for the criminally insane. For people who have been sent there against their will. And incarcerated against their will, actually put in the hospital against their will, because they're people like this guy who escaped because they weren't doing regular security checks on the bars of the state's largest facility for the criminally insane. Remember, this guy escaped? What was his thing? Well, he liked to torture people to death.
Anthony Garver turned up in a wooded area in Spokane Valley where he may have previously hidden a stash of weapons, though investigators say that stockpile is not confirmed. Deputies are certain he paid a visit to his family.
The family's been cooperative with us and let us know that he was there. He wasn't there very long, and we were immediately notified, and that's what started the search.
Garver reached the Spokane area aboard a Greyhound bus he boarded last night in Seattle.
Yes, at Western State Hospital, the patients, so-called, are allowed to have street clothes. Why? So they can visit the mall, the little store they have there, wearing their street clothes, and they're allowed to have money so they can visit the little mall wearing street clothes. That's all fine, except they had 25,000 missing master keys. Republicans should be hanging this around Jay Inslee's neck as a sign, and they should be pointing it to Bob, Sideshow Bob, who said nothing to say about this. Now, before he goes back to sleep, because he's been awake for almost 3 minutes, Jay, how do you excuse this? Is there anything you want to say in your favor?
We got the best weed in the United States.
Yeah, I know that. I know that, but you had put in a new CEO over there, Jay Inslee. You put in a new so-called CEO at Western State Hospital. What do you do now? Are you going to provide the leadership?
Talking to dozens of these young people is we need to turn the world over to this generation as quickly as we can.
No. I've heard enough of that, Jay. It's time for you to lead. How come you don't lead? Why won't you lead?
Well, I'm a doodler.
Oh. Well, okay. Well, then that kind of explains it. All right. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Huge, huge, huge week at the Supreme Court. And it's probably going to get bigger, particularly if you like your freedoms. The next session of the court is going to look at civil asset forfeiture. Reminder, the text line is open, 800-465-8770. And we're going to be giving away Mariners tickets this hour. If young Tom will remember to remind me to give away Mariners tickets this hour. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Everybody give young Tom a hand for that tiny bit of bump musicry. I love that, Tom. Thank you. Huge week at the Supreme Court. Now, there's been a lot of victories. Let's start here where earlier we played some sad, sad music for Sideshow Bob, our part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial campaign donations, who lost a big one in the Supreme Court today. Didn't have a great day the other day with Arlene's flowers getting sent back down to the Seattle Supreme Court. By the way, you know the key to winning that, right, is to get the emails of the so-called Human Rights Commission in Washington State, who, as I see it, is the they bought at least one Republican senator, Joe Fain, and to find out how viciously anti-Christian they are, because that was the key in the Colorado case, in the bake the cake bigot case that fortunately is over with for now. Well, it's over with that particular case. But the travel ban, that stands, and it's been standing for months. Now, on a 5-4 ruling, this is how bizarre a country we live in. We live in a nearly tyrannical country right now when it comes to speech. One vote saved us from a decision from the Supreme Court that it's not just a ban on speech. Okay? It is forcing you to say something. Now, we live in bizarre times and we listen to a lot of conservative radio, at least maybe you do, I do. But really think about that for a second. What's worse than banning speech? Forcing it. If speech is banned, it means you can't say something. I mean, that's tyranny in and of itself. But to say to people, you must speak the words we tell you to speak. There couldn't be anything more tyrannical than that as regards speech. And that's exactly what was at play in the Supreme Court from the state of California. State of California had said to crisis pregnancy centers, some of them are well-run, some of them aren't, many of them are religious. The well-run ones are 360 degrees. They help a woman make the decision to keep the child. They help her either find adoption services, people who will adopt the baby clearly, or if she decides to raise the child, these really good centers hook her up with parenting classes and sources of nutrition and food and job training and school and babysitting help. They will go through pretty much the full life of that baby and that woman until such a time as that woman is self-sufficient. The state of California had said, nope, you can't just say that. You, with your signs in your office, and in fact, as I understand it, your own words, have to direct people to where they can get a government-funded abortion. You have to provide the words. Here's where to go get an abortion. And notice it didn't go the other way. The state-funded abortion providers, they didn't have to say, hey, here's some adoption services. Here's where you can go. But a one-vote decision, 5-4, one vote swung the other way. You and I would be living in a country with a brand new government power. Not just bake the cake bigot. Not just create the flower art bigot. Speak the words of the government. Speak the words of the power brokers. This is why it's a conundrum. I want to speak with you again, non-radio host. This is why it's a conundrum. I hope that you feel this too.
And I know this isn't particularly good afternoon drive radio. It's not particularly funny or energetic. But have you been really praying about the Maxine Waters attempt to incite violence? And have you been praying about seeing Mitch McConnell? I can't stand Mitch McConnell. I mean, there's a reason I'm good at imitating Mitch McConnell, because I think he's a joke. But to watch him confronted at his home with his wife, to know Stephen Miller, who's not my cup of tea particularly either, surrounding his apartment, agitators doing that, Kristen Nielsen, who I quite admire, to be honest, I think she's great, being kicked out of a Mexican restaurant and the president being told F you and this entire parade of incivility. Are you praying that this ends peacefully? But how do we have peace when a government is saying, we will tell you what to say and you will say it? Be one thing if this was an aberration. It'd be one thing if we could say, well, it's just California. It's not just California. In our area, you aren't forced to say the words, but you have to fund the words. And it's going to go statewide. Eventually, they're going to figure this out. The so-called Honest Elections Initiative, Honest Elections Initiative in the Seattle area. That's forced speech. Now, you don't have to say the words. You have to fund the words. You have to fund the Bhagwan Sri Sawant's language. You have to fund Jenny Durkin's language and Sally Bagshaw's language. You have to fund the language of politicians you disagree with in favor of topics you can't stand. That's forcing you to pay for other speech. And mind you, this is from a side that says, hey, if you're a business, you know, if you're a bunch of people who got together and the government makes you decide whether you're an LLC or a corporation, if you decided you're a corporation for tax purposes, y'all just lost your First Amendment rights. You can't pool your dollars and buy political ads. Corporations aren't people. Corporations can't have free speech. But they'll go in the reverse. We will force you to pool your dollars from your property taxes. We will take those monies and we'll spend them on elections campaigns. That's how close we are, folks. That's how close we are to tipping over the edge. There is a good time for prayer. And is it loving our enemies? Is that what we're supposed to do? I know Christian, in the Christian tradition, it's what we're supposed to do. We can love, we can forgive, but how do we do that and battle? Because that's what we need to do. I think what we do is we point this out. We start to develop campaigns of forced speech. We start to develop little films. Here's what the future looks like. You go to work. Here's the things you're going to say. You go to an event, political event. Here's the things you're going to say. We need you to line up here and say, yay, dear leader. Well, I'm not going to say that. Oh, yeah, you are. Oh, you want to keep your job? You're going to say, oh, yeah, dear leader. These are the things that we need to put in front of people in a way they can look and touch and understand. This is where your party's taking us. This is where the left is steering us. You see why this is a conundrum for me? I don't want to see a war in our country, do you? But I will not be told what to say by the government. Not ever, ever. Big government is division. By its very nature, big government is division. Reminder, next hour on the Todd Herman Show, I'm going to go through 17, maybe 18 reasons why I-1639, the anti-Second Amendment, anti-self-defense initiative funded by the hypocrite Hanauer, is unconstitutional. Literally 16, 17, maybe 18 reasons why it's unconstitutional.
You're also going to give a Mariners ticket
and
away
I'm going to give away. Did you say that on the air or in my ear?
I said that over there.
Look at that, young Tom getting all spicy in there. Congratulations to someone. You won tickets to a really cool Mariners event. Those guys, I really like that club because I got to go behind the scenes and see how they treat our incredible, mostly World War II veterans I've seen there. It's first class. And when they talk about patriotic event, their fireworks are really good. And I always thank the Mariners for allowing us to honor World War II vets with them. So I'm starting a countdown and I'm starting a list. I really am starting a list. I want to have a list of people. And I want to have a list of media entities that do not decry what Maxine Waters and other people are calling for.
Everybody should decry what they're calling for. And I'm starting a list and I'm starting a countdown. And I do not have, man, this is not a fun show today, and I apologize for that. Really, I like to have some fun topics and do some fun things. But we're on one of those points together, you and I. And I'm sorry if it's unsettling. It should be unsettling. I'm starting a list of media companies who do not say, step it down, in regards to threatening politicians and bureaucrats, because you won't find anyone more cynical about the bureaucracy than I am. You won't find anyone more willing to tear apart the swamp rhetorically with facts and data and research and mockery. I'll mock Mitch McConnell right here and right now. I do it all the time. But I will not submit to a change in the Overton window. Remember we've talked about the window? The Overton window are the political topics that can be discussed. And the left is constantly moving the window, growing the window. More and more options can be discussed. You know, like you see these medical ethicists saying it's okay to kill a baby after they're born because they're not really supporting themselves. That's sort of the Overton window in the so-called birth control movement or the life control movement. I'm creating a list of people who are not decrying what happened to Florida's AG Pam Bondi. Because I can tell you right now, if I saw heroin Dan Satterberg walk into this building and I was not on the air, out of respect for the reporter who had him in here, I wouldn't say anything in this building. I would go outside this building and I would say to him, Dan, you're a coward for not coming on the program. You should come and explain yourself. I wouldn't spit on him. I wouldn't get up in his face. I might call him heroin Dan. Maybe I'm a hypocrite. Maybe that's just me being uncivil in different ways, but I don't think so. This is Pam Bondi describing what happened to her.
A woman approaches me in the ticket line and starts screaming that I was personally ripping babies out of the arms of mothers. And I said, Congress has to act on this matter. And they said, no, it's you. These babies are being kept. And then, because I was talking normally to them, they didn't know what to do. So then three huge guys came up and started probably an inch from my face, screaming at me every word in the book, cursing as loud as they could. My boyfriend and I got our tickets, we're headed in, and then they ran in and circled me where I could not get in the theater. They stopped me. Then we went in the theater, thought it was diffused, we're up getting popcorn at the concession stand, and they came up again, just every curse word in the book, and they said to him, hey, Blue Eyes, come on, aren't you going to protect her?
Hey, you know what? Go do it with Jim Mattis. Try Mad Dog. You guys go try that with General Mattis. See how that works for you. I'm keeping a list of media entities that find this entertaining. I'm keeping a list, and I'd like you to contribute to this. At Toddy Herman or on the text line, 800-465-8770. I'm keeping a list of Hollywood entertainers who find this entertaining. I'm keeping a list of so-called comedians who've made fun of this and find it entertaining and find it advisable. I'm keeping a list of people like Maxine Waters who are asking people to do this, to join into this. I'm keeping a list of people like Keith Ellison who say, well, look, there's going to be a backlash. People are going to go out and protest. And the list is for this. If God forbid, and I mean this to the sincerest form, I mean this, my hand to the Lord Almighty, I mean this. If God forbid something happens to them violently, if God forbid, I want that list. I want to be able to go back and say, do you think they saw it coming? Do you think they thought they could control the monster? Do you think they thought they were building a Frankenstein, but I'll build a Frankenstein I can control because I'm really good at building Frankensteins? Because I think that's where their head is at. Here's some more. Some activists go out and block buses. I want to remind something, everyone of something. I want to remind you, do you remember when the unions took people hostage in our state? They did. That you may not believe me. The unions, and was it the longshoremen? Well, I think it was the longshoremen in the Olympia area, wasn't it? They overturned grain cars. which is a federal offense, by the way, because I think those were handed to the troops. Secondly, a federal offense to do that to the grain cards on the federal property. Then they took security guards hostage over a labor dispute. Jay Inslee let them go. Do you think that emboldened people? Jay Inslee let them go without charges. By the way, I think Sideshow Bob was the attorney general at the time. So we're back to blocking people. Now it's blocking DSH buses or DHS buses. Fox's Griff Jenkins spoke with an activist.
Why are you stopping the bus?
This is to make a point that they need to leave children alone. This is not the America that we fought for and died for. My community has fought. There's no reason for them to do this to these children. These people have these children in a bus like criminals. They haven't committed any crime.
Do you have a message for President Trump?
We're coming for him in 2020, and we're coming for his Congress in 2018.
Well, at least the guy is specifically political. I can understand the upset, but you're going to go block these buses? You're seeing it in Seattle. You're seeing it with the Molotov cocktails thrown at where they're building the youth detention facility. I want a list of media entities who find it entertaining. I want a list of comedians who make jokes about it. I want a list of politicians who accept it. And I promise you, to the height of my ability to communicate sincerity, I do not want to see Maxine Waters harmed. I don't, because it furthers the flame. And the flame is starting now. It's starting now. But I want to be able to reference back. I want to be able to do it on the show to say, you precipitated this. You pushed it. You asked for it. You begged for it. Not to victim shame. Not to say, hey, you caused this. But to academically say, you can't push this way and not encounter a push back. Some of these people, like with Pam Bondi, they're going to go at the wrong person. Everybody thinks all these activists are, well, not all of them, but so many of these left-wing activists are so used to being able to bully and so used to people following the law and people acting with restraint. They're so used to that. Sooner or later, they get up against somebody who is either not programmed that way or snaps. Because actions like this are meant to create people snapping. Make no mistake, what some of these people on the left want is a moment of violence so they can merchandise it. So they can say, see, oh my gosh, we were protesting. All we did was protest Pam Bondi and we got beat up. That's all. We were just pro free speech. We got beat up. It's like the media here. When people lay down in the street over the weekend, they saw that the media reported it as peaceful protesters arrested. No, they weren't. People blocking the streets, keeping people from going to their jobs and to hospitals and to job interviews and picking up their kids. They were arrested, but that's not particularly peaceful. All of us need to keep a list. NBC's Richard Engel.
Even in Hungary, which has one of the most right-wing anti-immigration governments in the world right now, they were stopping the buses, making sure that people could be united with their families because they didn't want to inflict even more trauma onto the people so they could control the situation and not cause unnecessary agitation.
Richard Engel, in Hungary, they're killing journalists openly. In Hungary, they're tracking opponents of power and they're murdering them in the streets. And you are lauding the fact that they kept kids together. Richard Engel, you know this. The law in a 1997 Ninth Circuit Court recognition and expansion and clarification of the law is you can detain the parents if they ask for amnesty, but you can't detain them with their kids. That's the law, Richard Engel. I am keeping a list. I'm going to put it online. I'm going to continue to grow it. I'm going to put it up at ktth.com of all the entities that find this funny, all of them who sponsor it. And when it happens, because it will, and God forbid it's on the level of a congressional baseball shooting, but it may be, when that happens, I will point to the list. I will say, here's the people who fanned the flames. Here's the people who just now got what was inevitable by injecting this sort of poison and vitriol and asking for violence into the political system of the United States. And we've arrived at thy favorite part of the show, your emails, longer form communication with the show, Facebook notes, etc. You can always hit me up at therman@ktth.com, or you can use Facebook, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show, and send a note there. We do text messages throughout the show. 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. And I'm omnipresent on Twitter. And yes, it's a problem. That's at Todd E. Herman. You can hit me up there as well. Let's get started with an email from a brand new listener. Man, it's been a good week for that. Kim with a Y. Second Kim with a Y that I have known. Dear Todd, I work in high tech here and am fascinated that you somehow made it out of our business into your business. I don't know what the pay is like, but man, would I like to get paid to share my opinions. Instead, I have to keep my opinions hidden to myself. However, I'm done hiding my disdain for Sound Transit, and you're someone who seems to know a lot about this. How would you, knowing the tech world, attack this beast without alienating coworkers or... the bosses, Kim. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show. I'm really pleased that you're here. I would use the, and by the way, you're the second person who's written to me about this. I would use the website soundtransitrevealed.com. Okay. It's a terrible website. It's a really badly done website, but the data on it is pristine, and it's written by a guy who has traveled the world on transit systems. He loves buses. He loves trains. He hates Sound Transit because Sound Transit is a terrible organization. They go into detail on that site about how they have become the least efficient transit agency in maybe the world. And it's not because they have to tunnel. It's not because of the sound. It's not because of real estate costs. You'll see it explained there. SoundTransitRevealed.com. I'll have to get him back on. He's a good guest as well. Switching topics entirely to a Facebook note from Joel. Hey, Todd, I just wanted to tell you that I appreciated this story last night before the 6 o'clock hour regarding Big Dog. It's touching, and I can relate. Thank you. Hey, thank you, Joel. Yeah, I talked about cleaning my daughter's room out. Because I'm doing a project, or I was doing a project while they were in Utah, and then now they're back. And I found Big Dog, the first stuffed animal that she and I went and bought together that used to be bigger than her. You can hear that on the podcast. If you ever miss a personal note, the show's always on podcast. If you want that, just text podcast, the word podcast, to 800-465-8770, and you will be getting those as well. Lots of concerns about these initiative gatherers who appear to be mixing together topics. And I think my biggest concern is I-1693 is written in a way that no one can read it. Not that people really read these things anyway, but if this thing passes and it's allowed to continue, even though it doesn't have the actual text, of the actual legislation, and that passes, we're dealing now beyond lawlessness. We're dealing with blatant fraud. The printing of a contract that you put your name on that isn't the actual verbiage you're signing up for. It's just amazing that this is somehow okay to somebody. Well, maybe the Seattle Supreme Court that operates out of Olympia. Now, on to email from Joe. Dear Mr. Herman, I'm looking forward to your discussion of the number of items in the so-called gun control bill. I assume that's what you mean when you say you have 16 reasons that it's going to be unconstitutional. I'm sort of reading minds here, but I'm guessing that's your play, right? Well, let me tell you something. We are coming for your guns. I'll listen to your laughable segment and take notes because people like me are done, Mr. Herman. We're done with your killing machines. We're done with your fascination with that tool that replaces a body part that you may think is too small. Ha, ha, ha. We're coming. We may not knock. The left is on the rise, and people like you are on your way out. You're dinosaurs who live in fear of other human beings. That's why you carry around your kill sticks. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Thanks for the warning.
man, I don't know about you. I'm quivering in fear. I don't know if I can recover. Man, scary note, isn't it? Pardon me, Joe. I hate to be rude. I love it when guys try to write scare notes to us in that way. Hey, on the same topic from Mary. Hey, Todd, about this gun thing you're promoting. I don't need to hear the 16 reasons. It's unconstitutional. I'm not even going to read the text because I'm not going to follow whatever it says. I have my weapons. I have my permit. It's called the Second Amendment. I'm a single woman who lives alone. This is the only way I get to level the score against a man who tries to break into my house. Probably will never need it. But if I do, I'll use both barrels at once, drop that, make a swift retreat to the AR. When I kill a man, I make sure he's really dead. Joe wrote the previous note. Anything you want to say to Mary? All right, Todd Herman Show continue on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Next hour, 16 reasons that Nick Hanauer and Paul Allen and Mike Bloomberg's anti-self-defense initiative, 16 reasons it's unconstitutional.